On ABC Radio Hobart, it's Breakfast with Rick Goddard.
Mary Masson is CEO of the Macquarie Point Development Corporation. She's here with Greg Cooper, the Chief Operating Officer and the Head Engineer, who's been digging a lot of holes. Dad, I dug a hole. How many holes have you dug?
We've got over 650 on site.
And this is in the process of your soil remediation, and no one could believe how excited I am about this, but the soil must tell a story of that land usage so clearly.
It does. Most of the site is actually reclaimed land, so that's part of the contamination issue we've got, because when it was reclaimed back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they were just using industrial type waste to bring that on site as the reclamation, and so that's embedded with heavy metals and various other poisons and contaminants.
Gee, someone really thought that through, Mary. What standard are you held to in terms of how clean this land needs to be before you can pass it on to anyone?
Yeah, we're actually held to the highest standard for any brownfield site in Tasmania. That's embedded in our legislation. So we actually have to get EPA, the Environmental Protection Authority, as well as the environmental auditors sign off that the land is clean for development.
So back to the engineers, how long's that job?
Yes, we are aiming to have the site fully remediated by the end of 2020.
Wow, that's quite fast. Yeah, I mean, that's a big job. And what do you find, as well as the heavy metals and the waste, what are you finding archaeologically?
So there's a number of historical buildings that used to be on site. There's the Lord House, which was constructed in
1815. So effectively what we've got is a site that obviously was the home of the Munawina people back 40,000 years ago. And then what you see is the site really starting to take its place within the colonial Hobart. Remembering that Hobart was settled in 1804, we have Forth Brook Point and the earliest dwelling on that point being recorded in 1806. Then we have the Edward Lord House in 1815. We've got the foundations of that sitting...
They're
underground. We also know that it was also part of the slaughter yard. It was a slaughter yard. There was the colonial version of Bunnings there as well.
Didn't Maria Lord run that?
Yeah.
She ran a shop for years.
Yeah, possibly. Okay. I haven't looked into the names. It was also an orphan school as well as a holding place for the female convicts coming off the ships prior to going to the female factory. So there is both the remediation aspect, but there's also the heritage aspect that will require, which we find quite exciting, archaeological digs to look at the foundations and preserve them going forward.
So, Greg, how do you remediate soil like that? Don't you just have to dig it all out and put clean fill in? And how does that work?
That's the simplest solution of doing it. But we've also had fuel that's leaked from historical use, and that's gone down into the groundwater. And so we've had a process for the last couple of years of a filtration device that's essentially skimmed the fuel out of the water and left it clean. So that was one of the early major steps in site remediation that's completed now.
Wow. So that's all done?
Yes.
Yeah, so that means that we now have a clean water table under the site, which is obviously from an ecological as well as an environmental perspective a really good thing given the closeness and the sensitivity of the Derwent. So that accounts for, you know, the 600-odd boreholes across the site and the activity that's been going on underground.
And months and months of work that literally is invisible, that, you know, people don't see and don't understand is happening.
Yeah, that's right.
But the great thing is that in the coming weeks, people are going to start to see the major remediation works that Greg talked about having completed by the end of 2020. That commences in a couple of weeks so that we can take parcels out for permanent development.
The big question then is, like, where does that dirt go if you're digging stuff out?
So that'll go to the Copping Sea Cell. Yeah, and it's a mix of, there's four categories of contamination that they assess to, and so level one is clean fill, so we can just retain that, and then once it steps up, it'll go out to Copping.
Yep. And the temperature just went up for residents of Dodgers Ferry and Carlton as they're like, oh, great, thanks, that's marvellous, good on us. And we'll talk about that in its own time. when will this call out go? And the question that was going around the building yesterday, Mary Massena, was, will there still be public land? Will there still be commons?
Yes.
What's safe
there? Oh, yeah, look, I mean, with the planning rules for development and use being basically set in concrete now, with the final approval process being ticked off by the Planning Commission, the most important thing is that event and cultural space, the Truth and Reconciliation Art Park. That is still there. That, in fact, you know, to have that incredible parcel of land open for the public to use 24/7 is really valuable. And I think that's what gives the heart and soul to the site itself.
Yeah.
But the other elements that are really just as important is the fact that every floor, ground floor of every building that will actually be pulled out of the ground actually has to be open to the public. So we don't have a situation where buildings are closed off at 5 minutes past five. So they've got to have a combination of activities such as cultural or art exhibition spaces, cafes, you know, shops, restaurants, because it's really important that the public feel part of that site.
Yeah.
And actually use it irrespective of the time.
Well, if it had been a hospital, there'd have been people out the front of it smoking the whole time. That'd be good. Great to talk to you both this morning. That's Greg Cooper, Chief Operating Officer, and Mary Massena, Chief Executive Officer of Macquarie Point Development Corporation.